everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. No, we just got through somewhat of a holiday weekend, being February the 14th, and I know it was a little bit miserable for a lot of people, very cold, like sub-zero temperatures, cold, and, you know, worried about COVID, restaurants closed. It may not have been a lot of fun, but, you know what, it's kind of a dumb holiday anyway, so... Well, I mean, come on, when you think about over 50% of the women in this country are single, maybe we should change that holiday out. It's a little of somewhat of an archaic holiday at this point, and I'm not anti-love, don't get me wrong. Matter of fact, today's show is going to be about love. Several years ago, I went out on a journey to do a mini documentary on the subject of love. It was called What is Love? You can Google it on YouTube if you want to see it. It's about 9-10 minutes long. And it's a very interesting question. Let me ask you this. What is love? Seriously, can you answer that? I mean, I've asked so many people that, and I get a lot of, well, it's complicated. It's not, you know, just one thing in particular. There's different kinds of love. You know, but it's not really an answer, guys. I'm a reporter. I'm asking a question. Just give me an answer. What is love? Hey, listen, don't feel bad if you can't really answer it, because I've asked psychologists and therapists what that question is, and it really is like, kind of stumps them a little bit. It's a question I've asked myself for much of my adult life, and I've discovered that it's really hard to find a clear-cut answer for that particular question. But as I so often do, I search more and more and more. I go into ancient books. I go into modern psychological books. I go into all kinds of books, self-help books, to see if I can find out what the answer to that question is. And I got to tell you something. If you don't understand love to the degree that you need to, it can be a real issue. Because a lot of times it will cause you to feel like you're losing control of your life if you don't understand what love is and how to prioritize it. And I'm going to explain a lot of that in just a minute, but I want you to know something. We all have a main purpose, a main and original purpose when we were brought into this world, and that is to know love, to be loved, and to give love. The bottom line is, if you understand the concept of love, it will put you back in charge of your life. So now you know why I keep asking, what is love? In this little mini doc that I did a few years ago called What is Love, I thought I would go ask the oldest, wisest people I know. And to me, in my life at that particular time, it would have been my DAR sisters. DAR is Daughter of the American Revolution. I know you're not going to believe this, but I have about 10 ancestors that fought in the Revolutionary War. I'm very, very diversified. I have a lot of nationalities. I'm very proud of these people, very proud of these patriots. One of them in particular did give his life on behalf of the cause of the patriots. But anyway, needless to say, I am a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution. And these are a lot of older sisters of mine that a lot of times I get little bits of wisdom off of them. So I decided that I was going to produce this mini doc with my DAR sisters and ask three of them in particular that I know have gone through some challenges in relationships what love was. And I actually filmed them on camera. One of them in particular was a DAR sister of mine who was in her early 90s at the time. And she had a very interesting story. She talked about how when she got married the first time in her 20s, and I think it was like really like the 40s or something. It's a long time ago, okay? No, I'm not saying you're old. Please don't be offended, but come on. I mean, it was a long time ago, your first marriage. And it didn't go well. She said that the in-laws were really interfering, and she evidently wasn't living up to the in-law standards of what a good little wife would be. It caused all kind of problems, blah, blah, blah. And that whole marriage lasted a total of 9 months. And that's rare for the 40s, because usually, you know, you're locked in. No matter what, you're locked in back then, right? She goes on with her life. He goes on with his life. They remarry people. They married for a long, long time, many decades, have children. And on one particular time, they happen to run right into each other walking down the sidewalk in the original town that they lived in. Neither one of them lived there anymore. You know, and, you know, I guess a little spark started to fly. So I guess they kind of caught up for a second and went back to their hometowns, to their families, and put it behind them. Until they both got in their 70s, and their spouses had passed, and their children were long grown with children of their own. Ladies and gentlemen, these two people got remarried in their 70s. It's just an incredible love story anyway. But, you know, they both had learned a lot since then about what love really was and how you have to be patient and stick things out. And they should probably be very grateful to the spouses that they were married to for long term, because it taught them about love and what it means to stick through thick and thin and everything else. So now they were very ready to be married, very marriageable, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, 5 years later, the sir did pass from cancer. And she still holds him high as, you know, a great love in her life with great memories. And she's so glad she had even 5 years to be married with this guy, whom she said, you know, obviously the in-laws were long dead at that time. But understanding and growing in what his love was, and learning that love sometimes means you wait and you put yourself on the back burner because you love your family and you love your kids and you're willing to do that. I thought that was a very interesting point. I had another DAR sister, and she was married, and everything was great. They had kids. And on their 13th wedding anniversary, her husband, who was kind of a goofball, decided he was going to go in the pool and play with the kids. And he jumped in the wrong side of the pool. It was the neighbor's pool, and I guess they had it not quite directional. Like, I guess he didn't know. He just decided, I'm going to just cannonball. I'm going to dive in head first in this pool. And he never came back up. And what happened was he hit his head, and he became a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And he was a young man in his early 30s, I believe, when this happened. The children were small. And so the physicians tending to the situation said, well, we know 80% of all spouses will leave the spouse that becomes a quadriplegic, and we're not blaming you, and we're not passing judgment. So, you know, let us know if you're going to leave, so we can find the proper caretakers for him. And it is true that one spouse becomes critically injured, the other will leave, because I know people that's happened to. But Lil, God bless her, she said, I'm not going to do that. I married this man, and I'm going to take care of him. I don't care what he is. And she did. I was interviewing her. She was probably close to 80 or so, and he was about that same age, and put him on film. And that's her, still her baby. Children are long gone, married with kids of their own, and she's still covering up and taking care of him and everything. And within the last year or two, I know that her husband did pass. But, you know, I remember interviewing her, and her saying, you know, I don't even notice today that he's a quadriplegic. I don't even notice. It's just part of my routine. And I'm so glad that he's still here with me and that he's still someone that I can love and be loved with. And I thought, wow, you know what? Lil was a beautiful, petite young lady with red hair. She could have easily gone on with her life. And she sacrificed the rest of her life to take care of her husband, who was a quadriplegic now, in the wheelchair. And I thought, you know, that really is love. And I've noticed something when I do these interviews with people, that love always seems to have one element, and that element is sacrifice. That element is sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, true unconditional love always seems to have an element of sacrifice. Let me tell you what love is. Being patient is showing love. Being kind is showing love. Not being envious or jealous is showing love. Not bragging is showing love. Not being rude is showing love. Not looking out for your best interest all the time, but looking out at the interest of other people is showing love. Not losing your temper is showing love. Not remembering everything wrong that somebody did to you is showing love. Those are the 8 principles of love. I'd love to take credit for it, but guys, it's in your Bible. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's basically saying what I just said. I just kind of twisted it with a little more of a modern theme, a modern sound to it. But see, every one of these 8 tenets here that I just read to you always have an element of sacrifice. You know, to be patient when you're impatient, and I got my hands raised, I'm sorry. I can be very impatient. But when you're patient, you're showing people love that you have to be patient with. You're showing them love, unconditional love. It's a sacrifice to do that, especially when there's so many stupid people in the world. I get it. But I'm just telling you, you show love when you show patience. When you put yourself on the back burner, the rest of the tenets basically are saying put yourself on the back burner and try to look at other people and their issues and try to help them with your best of your ability. Maybe God wired you to be in their path to help somebody else. That's showing love. It's a sacrifice to commit time to somebody else. It's a sacrifice to commit money to somebody else. But again, true love, I've noticed, always requires somewhat of a sacrifice. Unconditional love. And that is true love. All the other tenets to me have to do with putting yourself on the back burner so that other people can shine and be helped. Ladies and gentlemen, why do you need to show love? Putting aside the fact that you know I'm extremely religious. I mean, I am an ordained chaplain. I guess I'm a little religious. Putting aside the sacrifice element of love. Love is a very interesting concept. You see, what happens when you show love is you actually put yourself in control of your life. If you ever feel like you're losing control of your life, and we all have, again, I got my hand raised. I've been there. Sometimes I got to catch myself. People think that Master Karen is so put together. It kills me. Because I am not stone, ladies and gentlemen. I've had moments in my life I'm like, my God, I am just one step away of insanity. God help me. And then I realized God already told me how he can help me. By showing love. Because love puts me back in control of my life. If you feel like you're losing control, I want you to show love. I just read you the 8 tenets of love you can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You do these things to everybody in and about and around you. It's going to put you back in control of your life. Again, we were born to know love, to be loved, to give love. Being brought into this world as a helpless baby, we automatically should have had love. It's a birthright to be loved. Some of you out there listening to me, you don't understand love and you don't know love because it wasn't given to you in your birthright. Hey, I get it. I get it. Just because you can have kids doesn't mean you could be a good mother or father. People need to understand that have great parents, that you're very blessed that you had it. Because there is a part of society that didn't get it. And because they didn't get it, they draw a big blank when it comes to love. A void when it comes to love. A lot of work in relationships when it comes to love. I call it putting in the foundation. All that didn't work, put in another piece. A lot of work, a lot of wasting of time, ladies and gentlemen. Why didn't they get their birthright of love? Because perhaps they had parents who didn't know how to love. Because those parents didn't understand the tenets of love and what it means to sacrifice for your own kids. That you don't sacrifice your kids for your own personal gain, but you sacrifice your personal gain for your own kids. It won't be forever. It won't be. You may be 70 years old. I don't know. But love always finds a way, ladies and gentlemen. It will always find a way to come back and get you if you do the right thing. Don't sacrifice people for your own personal gain. That's not love. You think that's love because you want to be with somebody else. That's not love. You've got to do the right thing. Love is everything in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 dealing with patience, sacrifice, not losing your temper, not even holding somebody in accountability for the wrongs that they've done. Well, that's a tough one. Forgetting about the bad things that people do to you. That is unconditional love, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be lying if I told you that I've mastered it. I haven't. I may be a grandmaster of martial arts, but there are many things in this world I have not mastered, and that's one of them, just coming clean to let you know that. I understand the truth, and it's something I got to work at. I'm human. I'm like everybody else. I got stuff I got to work on. Love has been something I have worked on. I've spent numerous and countless amounts of time trying to understand it, trying to conceive it, trying to absorb it, and trying to give it. Well, happy Valentine's Day to you. I know the show is probably going to run past that, but, you know, it's a very important message to understand. I tell this to the young people. All the gushy stuff you feel about love, you know, that's just reproduction. That leaves. You know, once the gushy part is over, eventually it will leave. It will go. I mean, we can't keep procreating. It eventually will go, whether it's a matter of time or just expending a lot of time with one particular person. You got to find a way to get to true love with patience and kindness. Not looking out for yourself all the time, not holding people accountable when they've done something wrong to you. You got to find your way to those basic understandings of what love really is if you want anything to last. Because you know what? Relationships, I don't care who they're with. It could be friendships, marriages, could be anything. Mother, father, brother, daughter, sister, mother, whatever. They're all hard. They're hard for people who had good upbringings. They're really going to be hard for people who didn't. So you need to know that about yourself and where you fall in that category. There's a lot of things that'll just take that carpet right from under your feet when it comes to understanding what true love is. Tell you right now, if you grew up with an alcoholic parent or a parent addicted, you're challenged in that relationship. You're going to be challenged in relationships, not in that relationship per se. But you'll always struggle with this one question that I'm telling you, what is love? You may be numb to love. There are people out there who are totally numb to love, totally numb to it. They never feel it. They can't feel it because they can't get in touch with what happened and what it really is. There are people in society, you wonder how people do bad things in this world. How can they do that? That's horrible. That's heinous. I'm going to tell you it starts with the foundation and whether or not they had one. And if they had one, was it a good one? Because if you can't feel love, you can't expand love. If you can't feel it, what can you give? You have to understand what love is to feel it. And to feel it means you can expend it. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, how can you love anybody if you can't love yourself first? There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. That doesn't mean it's always about you. It doesn't mean that you're always worried and looking out for your best interests. But it does mean that you have a sense of worthiness in your own life, that you can love yourself. And what it boils down to is worthiness. I am worthy of love. That is loving yourself, understanding that you are worthy and deserving of all good things. Every New Age book and seminar you're paying $3 million to go to, I'm telling you right now what it is. You are worthy of all good things. I just saved you a boatload of money, guys. You don't need to buy the New Age books, the tapes, nothing. You are worthy because you're created in the image of God, the divine. You have godness in you because of that, and you are worthy of all good things. When you know you're worthy, you will understand what love is. You'll see it clearer. And when you understand what love is through your own worthiness, you will be able to show love to other people. You get mad at selfish people. People always out for themselves. I know people like that. And they're incessant. You can't get rid of them. They're always about themselves all the time. You know why they are, guys? Because they don't feel worthy. Because when you don't feel worthy, you can't put the wall down and trust somebody else enough to help you. Got to do it yourself. Because you don't understand what love is, and you can't believe that somebody would really love you. Can't believe it. Don't believe in love because you never experienced it because you always got screwed over. I don't believe in it anyway. What is it? You don't have to believe in romantic love. You don't have to believe in anything outside of these concepts I'm giving you right here. Do them anyway. If your self-worth is so challenged that you can't feel loved, you can't love yourself, and you can't expend love, then I need you just to stick with these 8 principles I gave you right out of the Bible, written thousands of years ago. These 8 principles from 1 Corinthians 13. You're going to be okay. You'll figure it out. Take it one bite at a time. Listen, I teach martial arts, and a lot of people out there listening to me do. You know you can't teach black belt principles to a white belt. What happens? They're so overwhelmed, they'll probably never come back, first of all. And then you've just made them feel even more worthless. As martial arts instructors, we're not out to make our students feel worthless. A lot of them already do. A mass majority of them already do. We're out to empower them, make them feel like they're strong, courageous, give them discipline and focus. This helps them in their life be better people to overcome a lot of the fears that they have. But it doesn't teach them love. Love is a spiritual teaching, guys. I do try to teach it only because I told you I'm very religious. That is to my karate students. But love is a spiritual principle. And sometimes you have to break it down and understand that things like Valentine's Day, I guarantee you probably over 50% of the people that celebrate it are feeling gush. They're feeling gush and mush. They're not feeling true love. If that person you went on a Valentine's dinner with became a quadriplegic tomorrow, would you say, I'm going to sacrifice the rest of my life to take care of this person? Would you do it? Then I got news for you. You might not be in love. You might be in gush and mush. You might not be in love if you can't say that. Now let me get religious. I told you love always involves sacrifice. That's why Jesus Christ sacrificing on the cross is the greatest act of love of all time. Are you wearing a cross? You got one tattooed on? You're wearing a crucifix? Did you know you're standing for that great love? You're saying I'm wearing this because it's going to protect me. This ultimate act of love is protecting me, and I'm wearing this pendant to prove it. Or I've got it tattooed on me because I understand that. That's what that means. The ultimate act of sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for another, and that's what Jesus Christ did. I'm not picking on you if you're Buddhist. I'm just telling you, Buddha didn't do that. I'm sorry. Don't mean to hurt your feelings. Yeah, not picking on you. None of them did it. Pick any religion. None of them sacrificed but Jesus Christ, and that's why it's the greatest power source, because it was the greatest act of love. So many layers to that onion. So many layers, but that's just the basic white belt reasoning for you right there of what true love is sacrifice. That kind of sacrifice, the ultimate love, I don't know how many of us could do it. I don't know. I don't even know if I could do it. But I really want you to think about that. Because if you tell me you really love somebody, then what I'm hearing you say is it's unconditional. Many of us have children. We know what unconditional love is. Not that we've gotten it, but we know with our own children. You know, as mama bears or whatever, I mean, how we would even lay down our life before we'd let somebody hurt our kid. That's unconditional love. It's unconditional. Your kid could be the meanest, heinous person in the world. You'd still love them. That's unconditional. And you know, that's the way Father God feels about us. We could be the meanest, heinous person in the world, but his unconditional love, he's still going to love us. And that's why people go, well, it's not fair. He murdered blah, blah, blah. Why does he get to go to heaven? This was a bad guy. He shouldn't get to go to heaven. Now, all of a sudden, he murdered, Acts murdered 12 people, and he accepts Christ. He gets to go to heaven. That's not right. That's not your business. Because Father God is unconditional love. He loves every Acts murderer there ever was. Because that's what unconditional love does. And if you have children, maybe you can just remotely grasp that concept of what unconditional love is. That's why people who did heinous things that accept Christ can go to heaven. Yes, they can. I know people who struggle with that. Well, I'm sorry, that's not your business. That's between them and God, and that's the way free will love is set up. And you're going to have to grasp it. Because if you have a problem with it, then go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe you're the one who's not in love. What else can I say? Pretty heavy roster coming up here starting in March. I don't know if you're going to be anywhere near the Lummi tribal area in North Carolina, but I'm going to minister to my Native American brothers and sisters and pray for them because they got a lot of issues, not just the Lummi. Native America has a lot of stuff going on. I mean, just horrible stuff. And they need a lot of prayer, and I'm going to try to help them. So if you're in that area, come shake my hand. You probably won't be. Very remote. But anyway, outside of that, I got a speaking engagement in southwestern part of Virginia in Tazewell, and I know some martial arts instructors in that area. DM me because I want to meet you. I want to give you a big hug, a COVID hug, big COVID hug with a mask on. So if you're in that area of Tazewell, Virginia, coming up about March the 21st, I'm going to be there. I think it's March the 21st. Hit me up. We'll talk, okay? I'm going to be at the Cleveland Hall of Fame the weekend of April the 10th. I'm going to be doing a seminar there, and I'm going to be their guest speaker there in one of a very rare moment of just a handful of women who are going to be receiving an induction into the Cleveland Hall of Fame. Quite an honor for me. Thank you, gentlemen, for thinking about me. I know you just think I'm one of the guys. I actually like being a girl. But thank you. I'm so looking forward to being with all my MAs out in Cleveland. So you can go. Listen, contact Don DeVries, because that's who contacted me, DeVries. Sorry, Don, if you don't want me to say that. He's in charge of it, so you shouldn't have any problem. Hit him up on social media. Tell him you want to go. He'll send you a form to fill out. We'd love to have you. You know, join the banquet and everything like that. Cleveland's cool. Cleveland's cool to me. Even though I lived in Pittsburgh for 13 years, and I know the Steelers and the Browns are always been kind of like major rivals. All right, not kind of. Okay, they hate each other. In martial arts, we're all related. So I'm honored to be there. And I don't know why they hate each other. To me, I can't even tell them apart. Cleveland and Pittsburgh are just like identical twins to me in every way. Maybe that's why they don't like each other. I don't know. I got some more stuff coming along. I'll let you know about that later. But anyway, you know, I got 4 books out. I talk about this stuff all the time. I write for 2 magazines, and thank you for reading my magazine columns that I've been expending out there for over 20 years now. I'm very honored, truly honored to be your master of inspiration and your very religious person that preaches to you all the time. I don't mind. You need it. Heck, you got to get it somewhere. I'll be glad to do it. I think I'm done, guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.